This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. Tragedy in a small town in Mississippi. WREG-TV's Jordan James on a mass shooting spree.
A person went to a local store in Arkabutla and shot and killed a man, then proceeded to a home where a woman was shot and killed. But the violence did not stop there. The suspect is also linked to the deaths of two people at a home. Eventually, the suspect was captured following a brief pursuit. Moments later, deputies also discovered two more people who were killed.
Six dead in all. The victims include the suspect's ex-wife and stepfather. Five former Memphis police officers pled not guilty to second-degree murder in the Tyree Nichols beating case. CBS News legal contributor Rebecca Royfe.
Second-degree murder charges that instead of intending to kill, they knowingly engaged in acts that were likely to cause death.
Fears in the Jewish community in Los Angeles after a man shot two others outside two separate synagogues in the same neighborhood this week.
The biggest part is walking around and just feeling like I'm not safe sometimes because of who I am.
28-year-old Jamie Tran's been charged with two hate crime counts. Residents in East Palestine, Ohio, do not feel safe in their town, breathing the air or drinking the water 2 weeks after a train derailed carrying toxic chemicals. But authorities say everything is fine. Environmental and consumer advocate Aaron Brockovich says a letter from the EPA dated February 10th reveals the chemicals are still being released into the air.
Norfolk being in charge chose to dig a hole, and they took the liquid hazardous materials from the train cars and dumped it down that hole. Now, that's just going to go straight to the aquifer.
Many residents have reported breathing issues and headaches. Two people, including a neo-Nazi, were indicted earlier this week for allegedly plotting to attack five power substations in Maryland and Pennsylvania. Kenneth Weinstein is with the Department of Homeland Security.
Some of these shootings are also being done by domestic violent extremists. They want to take down the energy grid. And if they take down the energy grid, they believe that society will then collapse. And then out of the collapsed society will rise a white nationalist government.
The FBI says there are nearly two dozen crimes related to the power grid right now under investigation. A mistrial in the double murder of a former Pentagon police officer. Here's WTOP's Kyle Cooper.
Lauren DeMarco, spokesperson for the Montgomery County State's Attorney's Office, says the jury in the case of former officer David Dixon had a lot to consider.
The legal instructions were among the most complicated that this courthouse has ever seen.
Dixon, who was off duty, says he was acting in self-defense when he fired into a car leaving his apartment complex.
This is CBS News.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The long-term effects of Wisconsin's redistricting process were apparent in the November elections. A nonpartisan good government group says voters who feel overlooked should not give up. Mike Moen reports.
Democratic Governor Tony Evers won re-election, but Republicans maintained strong control over the legislature. Jay Heck of the group Common Cause points out that Evers maintains his veto power, but he says Republicans still carry a lot of weight, partly because they keep redrawing the maps to their advantage.
There were more votes cast for Democratic candidates statewide than Republican, but the contrast with the legislative elections in the state is so sharp, it almost makes laughable the idea that we have a true representative democracy.
Researchers have said that over the past decade, Wisconsin has produced among the most gerrymandered voting district maps in the country. Heck says voters should look ahead to next year's state Supreme Court election with the hope a less politicized court could eventually revisit the issue. And there could be legislation floated again next year to develop an independent redistricting process. In the meantime, he says the current maps allow a smaller percentage of voters to decide who controls the legislature, leaving other voters behind in fair representation.
Urban areas in Wisconsin have suffered a decline in the shared revenue from the state, even though those people pay taxes.
Heck says that means less support for schools, roads, and other public needs. Analysts say lawmakers representing these areas get packed into boundaries that ultimately diminish their voices at the state capitol. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
Wisconsin's spring primary election is Tuesday, February 21st, and your local Civic Media radio station will be tracking the results.
Special live coverage starts at 7 p.m., and News Director Terry Bell, with a team of political experts, will be following which candidates, both local and in the state Supreme Court race, move on to April.
Spring primary election coverage live, Tuesday, February 21st, starting at 7, here on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, where we uplift caregivers through education and support while also lifting up their invaluable role in society. I'm Liza.
And I'm Kristen.
And together we are the Empowered Caregivers. Today's show is sponsored by Group Health Cooperative of South Central Wisconsin, a nonprofit, member-owned health plan providing high-quality health care and health insurance services to over 85,000 members living in South Central Wisconsin. Today's guest is Bryn Seaman from Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging Resources, Inc., which is a nonprofit agency committed to supporting the successful delivery of aging programs and services in 70 counties and 11 tribes in Wisconsin. Stay tuned so you can learn more about the available training, technical assistance, and advocacy work GWAR does to ensure quality programs and services that meet the changing needs of older people in Wisconsin. When it comes to the aging population in Wisconsin, we have a real crisis on our hands. It is projected that between 2015 and 2040, the population ages 65 and older will grow by over 640,000 people. Those over 65 make up 15% of the total population as of 2015, and by 2040, they are expected to make up 24% of the state's population.
So dang, Liza, before I introduce Bryn, I just need to really highlight those statistics again, because that is kind of insane, right? That you just said the population ages 65 and older is going to grow by 640,000 people. That's an increase of 72%. I don't think we understand that until we really stop for a moment and think about what does that mean? An increase in a population of a specific age group by 72%. This is a whole group of people we've got to be paying attention to. So thank you so much, Bryn. I'm so glad you're joining us, because we need to hear a little bit more about how we should be addressing this population. But before we do that, can you tell us a little bit about you, what got you into this work, and what exactly GWAR is?
Sure. So my journey to GWAR actually took a little bit of a winding road. I've been working in long-term care for about 20 years. I have a bachelor's degree, a master's degree. I've done kind of the traditional case management at a county level. I worked for a managed care at a regional level. And most recently, I also worked at an aging and disability resource center as the adult protective and benefit specialist supervisor and aging director, which is where I really got familiar with the aging services. So I kind of highlight all that because I've been able to see from many different perspectives all sorts of shortcomings or areas of need, people projecting what the future could look like and providing different types of solutions. So I like having that information kind of at my ready.
Sure.
And then, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I just wanted to ask because of the education background I have, and I always like students and people to hear. You mentioned you had a bachelor's and a master's, but in what? So that people can understand what these different types of studies can lead to as careers.
Absolutely. I have a bachelor's degree in human services. Okay. And I worked for a while as a job coach, actually, in the Twin Cities, and then took a pause and went back and got my master's degree in rehabilitation psychology. And thought I was really going to work with adults with developmental disability and long-term rehab in different settings. And I did some of that, but I also worked in aging programs as a case manager shortly after. So I had a mixed population that I was supporting.
Okay. And was there something personal in your own life that got you into this work?
There is. That's so I had a wonderful job, a great job, in fact, that I voluntarily walked away from in combining both my family needs. We have three children, two of who have special needs, and a new practice for my husband really meant that I was being pulled in quite a few different directions. So I resigned and I kind of left that world thinking that I was going to be a stay-at-home mom. I was going to find a new lease on life, maybe in a different career profession that was more flexible. And a friend sent me a caregiver specialist role with GWAR. And fortunately, I knew who GWAR was because otherwise it's a pretty different kind of named organization to desire to work for. And lo and behold, it's, you know, the universe's way of catching up with you or leading you down a path. And now I think I'm actually more educated and more familiar with what my own needs are after now being in this profession for about a year as the caregiver specialist with GWAR.
And I know you said GWAR was kind of an odd name, and I'd have no choice but to agree. So I'll say one more time what it stands for, Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging Resources. But what exactly is GWAR?
So we are a nonprofit agency, and maybe more specifically, it helps if we also give it a label as an area agency on aging. The reason that's helpful is because if you look at Older Americans Act funding and programming, oftentimes they reference AAAs or area agencies on aging. So if you go through material or if you're desiring to look into what Older Americans Act is about, they're going to mention AAAs, and GWAR is one of those. So we are one of three actually in the state of Wisconsin. Milwaukee and Dane County are their own independent nonprofit AAA. That's not to say we don't collaborate and work together. We absolutely do. They just are their own agency, have their own governing board and the like. And what we are tasked with is supporting older Americans living at home and in the community with dignity and independence for as long as possible, which really overlaps well with the support that ADRCs or Aging and Disability Resource Centers offer, and really a lot of senior or aging and disability for-profit, not-for-profit, different types of service agencies also hope to achieve. So it's a pretty lofty goal, but one that I think is shared by many.
And did the Madison and Milwaukee area, they don't go by GWAR. Do they go by AAA?
They call themselves Milwaukee AAA and I believe Dane AAA. Yep.
Okay. Well, if that couldn't get any more confusing, I thought that was a place you called when you got locked out of your car. But okay.
Exactly.
Different AAA. So your role is a caregiver support specialist. Can you tell us a little bit about what it is that you do for GWAR?
Yes. So I am one of eight Older American Act specialists, and we all have our area of specialty from prevention of elder abuse to nutrition program, and then mine being caregiver supports. There are two programs in the state of Wisconsin, and the first is called Alzheimer's and Family Caregiver Support Program. It's a long title, but what you can gather is that it's intended to support those with Alzheimer's or other dementia in their family. Again, supporting them to live at home and remain in the community as long as possible. And that happened in the state of Wisconsin in 1985. So we were a bit ahead of the national trend, and that's something to be proud of as a state. And then in 2000 is when the National Family Caregiver Support Program came to pass. And that is for caregivers supporting people who have any type of illness, diagnosis, or disease. So it's not specific to the Alzheimer's or dementia. And I have to explain those in order to explain my role, which is to help counties and local government agencies get those program funds out to the people who need it. So that could be outreach. That could be doing today what I'm doing, just explaining what the program is, that it's available and helping people find out how to tap into it, helping people hear what the programs are and what they're named so they can hopefully become familiar with asking for that to learn more about it. And then I also do a lot of technical assistance behind the scenes. So answering questions about what's allowable, what's not, doing case consults for family caregivers in different situations. A lot of training as well, just to help some with some of that lift at a local level.
So I have a couple follow-up questions, because my main question that I was going to ask you about was how all these senior agencies overlap, and we kind of just addressed that. So I think what I really am interested in right now is, what do you do on a day in, day out basis? Like, there's so much there that you're talking about in terms of training and this agency and this organization. But if I was listening at home, I'd be thinking, okay, I'm a little overwhelmed. Like, what does she do for me? And what does she do for the old people or the seniors?
Sure. So the people who are listening probably will never talk to me or have access to me, or maybe I've never even know what I do day to day, which is frankly a lot of emails and a lot of meetings, a lot of committees. But what they may indirectly experience that I can offer is that I am supporting their local community and county governments in getting these grant programs operationalized, getting them outreach so people are aware of them, and helping them to access that.
So if I recap, the money comes in, it comes in to your organization, and you decide where it goes, what the programs are, and then if there's new programs, how do we get the word out, or how do we get the people connected with the programs? Did I get that?
The recap is, yes, accurate. We receive the funds, and we do put those out to the counties. We don't decide on the amounts or anything. That's based on population, so we don't have favorites, or we decide who gets more or what. And then with that money that they receive, they are then able to offer those caregiver programs.
Gotcha. And I know that we were talking about some of the different aging programs out there. And I just want to clarify, how are you different, or how do you intersect with the ADRC or the Aging Disability Resource Center?
ADRCs, or Aging and Disability Resource Centers, are county specific. They're typically run by the local county government, and they are the no wrong door agency where anybody who is a family caregiver, a person with a disability, or an aging person would go to for resources and questions about programs like these, but also about long-term care. So programs like IRIS or family care. They may also learn about them if they're getting discharged from a hospital potentially, and reach out for a wheelchair ramp, or learn about their nutrition program, or they might need transportation is another big thing that ADRCs are able to help coordinate and give access to.
Thank you for clarifying that. We're talking with Bryn Seaman from the Greater Wisconsin Aging Agency on Aging Resources, Inc. You can find them at GWAAR.org. When we come back, we're going to learn more about the services that are being done to support you and the seniors that you love.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
My Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
But early detection allowed us to take control of the situation together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw. Mainly sunny skies today with daytime highs approaching 37. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Lows dip down to about 30. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow. Highs around 41. Overcast skies Monday. Decreasing clouds by Tuesday. Highs in the mid-30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 25 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show with Liza Hellenbrand and Kristen Voss. We've been talking with Bryn Seaman from the Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging Resources. And before the break, I tried to spit out the email address, which even that is confusing, gwaar.org. But Bryn, you had brought up that there was actually another email or resource that you wanted to make sure that we got out. So why don't we start with that before Kristen goes to the next question?
Sure. So the GWAR website is a wonderful resource. It's more geared toward professional. That's the technical assistance that we're giving to the counties I mentioned. We also offer and operate the WisconsinCaregiver.org. So that's Wisconsin, WISCONSIN, Caregiver, CAREGIVER. .org. And the reason I really want to promote that to listeners is because if they feel that they fall into the category of a family caregiver, or they don't know what it is and they want to explore, or they think they know somebody who is and they want to give them resources, that is going to be where you can contact your local aging and disability resource center that has an interactive map. You can type in your zip code and find out what the services are, how to contact them, email, website, phone number. And it also has so much information related to the alliance work that I'm a part of. I mentioned I sit on, you know, a lot of committees, and that's one of them, a very important one, as far as the efforts for caregivers that are pushed through in that group and really kind of hone in on and given a voice and put a spotlight on. And then they also have virtual supports or telephonic. We also have podcasts related to family caregivers, including the Empowered Caregiver Community. And there's also very specific resources on there for Parkinson's disease, housing resources, you name it. On several of those pages, there's quite a bit of information.
Okay, so I was saying to Liza when we got prepared for this show that one of the things that I found fascinating in getting connected with you and doing some of the advocacy work, and thank you very much for having our podcast on your website, and that's how we got to have you on the show, is because we found this crossroads, right, about caregiving. And it seems like so much of the stuff that you've exposed me to has really been great for people who are caring for seniors, right? So the care recipient is a senior aging population, which is an important population. But in somebody where I'm actually, my primary care recipient is a young adult with disabilities, I'm thinking that that group just hasn't really recognized that the caregiver needs support. I wouldn't say as much, but just enough, right? That there isn't enough support in some of these other care recipient communities. And so it feels like at your website, even though it's talking about aging, it's still a very relevant place for people who are caregivers, family caregivers, to somebody who might not fall into an aging population. Am I correct about that?
You are.
Okay. And so then what I'd like you to do with the next couple minutes is, when you think about how you've got this big picture, right? You're telling us that you really are up here, but kind of behind the scenes, you're not having direct contact with the family caregiver. When you think about, oh, I want a family caregiver to know about this program, like, what is this program? What do you feel like has been some of the most impactful, specific resources or programs that you can share?
The two that I would highlight, because I want people to become familiar with what they're called so they know what to ask for, are the Alzheimer's one, which of course is related to Alzheimer's, but it benefits caregivers who are 18 years or older. So while it focuses on somebody who has Alzheimer's disease, the caregiver themselves, as long as they're an adult, can benefit from that. So there is focus on the caregiver and not just the person with, the diagnosis or the need for treatment.
Yay, that's awesome.
And we know that intergenerationally, that there might be a grandchild taking care of a grandfather. So there is that. And more there are avenues opening. So another example with the National Family Caregiver Support Program, again, supporting those caregivers 18 and older, who might be supporting those that are 60 and older, but they too can benefit from those help. There now has been added and a cap lifted on the funding to support those 55 and older who might be caring for a child 18 or younger with a disability. Or if they are a kin. So we're also seeing lots of grandparents, as an example, who are taking care of their grandchildren, or an aunt is now taking care of her niece or nephew. Those caregivers, too, at age 55, are eligible for this National Family Caregiver Support Program.
Okay, so let's just bullet point those two things really quick. So the first one is on the website, wisconsincaregiver.org.
Yep.
I'm going to find something connected. What is the specific thing I'm going to find about Alzheimer's that's going to help me as a caregiver?
You're going to find, you're talking about the program, the Alzheimer's and Family Caregiver Support Program.
Okay. Yep.
That's the program that is the grant dollars that you would be interested in asking at your local ADRC. Can I be eligible? How do I get in this program?
Okay. And then this one that you're talking about that's now dropped down for 55-year-olds, can you just bullet point that one for me again, please?
National Family Caregiver Support Program.
Awesome. Thanks. And we have just a moment, but I heard that you were thrilled about how you can offer and nominate for our Caregiver Gift Box program. We think it's totally cool, but we would love for you to explain why you think it's such an awesome program and the story of the person that you have nominated.
I really enjoyed sharing this at our local committee on aging. I think it's a great way to make family caregivers feel empowered by having their story shared. When you can help somebody else feel good, or say, I got through it, or what do you need me for? I want to be that person to lean on. I think that's a mutually beneficial experience. So I did nominate somebody. I'm sure there are so many more caregivers that I could nominate or should nominate, but Ashley just stood out. And I don't know if I'm going to get her story entirely accurate, but she's a good friend, mainly through our kiddos. And about October, it was Halloween, we were trick-or-treating, and she shared just a really devastating experience with her mom, who is experiencing respiratory distress in and out of the hospital. And
you know what, that's the ultimate cliffhanger right there. If you can't come back for that, I don't know what's going to draw you back. I want to hear the story in just a minute.
Okay.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. A man went on a shooting rampage across a tiny town in Mississippi. CBS's Omar Villafranca reports he killed six people.
According to sheriff's deputies, the suspect, identified as 52-year-old Richard Dale Crum, fled, but they soon spotted him in a car. After a brief chase, police say Crum was taken into custody.
Five ex-police officers charged in the Tyree Nichols beating have pled not guilty. Legal contributor Rebecca Royfe.
It is hard in a situation like this where it's so in the moment to show that there was any intention to kill, but they clearly knew what they were doing to this man.
After the shootings of two different men outside two synagogues in L.A. this week, there are fears among the Jewish community.
When things like this happen, you get a little fearful, and it kind of spooks you.
28-year-old Jamie Tran's been charged with two hate crime counts. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
Hey, everybody. How we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Need weekend plans? Check out what's happening at your local Lowe's. Weekending at Lowe's gives you and your family the opportunity to make us your weekend destination. Join us in-store for free giveaways, events, and activities for everyone to enjoy. This month, stop by for fun events like our two-day Super Bowl prep party and our Valentine's-themed kids workshop. Visit Lowe's.com/events for this month's full lineup. Count on Lowe's for all your home improvement needs. And now, activities in your community with Weekending at Lowe's.
The Devil's Advocates.
Today, I made a mental note. It was 1:09 Central Time when I found out Ron Johnson was a conspirator in a coup, a traitor to the Constitution, and Ron's been something of an apologist. You know, they seem real friendly. Well, maybe to you, Ron, because you were on the inside of the coup, and I've never made that accusation prior to today. So let's play it for the people.
This staffer stated that Senator Johnson wished to hand-deliver the fake electors' votes from Michigan and Wisconsin.
Follow The Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
Listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show with Liza Hallenbrand and Kristen Voss, and we've been talking with Bren Seaman from the Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging Resources, and we were sharing the story how Bren is really helping us get the word out on our caregiver gift boxes, which simply means that you go to our website and nominate a caregiver that you think is doing a phenomenal job and working their tail end off to make a difference in their loved one's life. And Bren, you had someone that you actually nominated, and we had to go into that stinking commercial. So I really want to hear this story.
Well, and I should also say that she did give me permission to share this. So I'm not just sharing it because I think it's a wonderful story, but she said it was okay. So again, Ashley, we came together as friends. She was telling me the story of her mom who was in and out of the hospital, probably prematurely discharged. It sounds like there was some advocacy on her end, certainly to make sure that her mom got the proper treatment. But ultimately, in the last hospitalization, was in such distress, she was airlifted to St. Luke's. And yeah. think for about 2 months, she essentially lived at the hospital. She's a mom, she's a wife, she's a working mom and wife of three little girls. And she came home really essentially on the weekends and gave all of herself to her kiddos on the weekends, and then gave all of herself to her mom during the week to be with her. I think that I tried to offer things like meal trains and GoFundMe, and the best that I could offer to her that she would really accept was play dates. So I tried to keep the girls busy here and there, but she was in a fortunate position that she was able to work from her mother's bedside. I know we are not all able to do that. So I think she took advantage of it in the best way possible. And now ultimately, I think it was February 1st, her mom came home. And so Yay. Now she's in a whole new, yes, family caregiving journey of in-home care. I'm sure it will be, you know, lots of rehab and lots of patience and lots of new firsts and new things to discover. But I'm positive she'll do it with her full heart as she did the time in the hospital.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that is awesome. Is the mother living with your friend?
No. Okay. So she was discharged to her own home. So okay. Thankfully, it sounds like there's some support there. She has, I'm not sure if it's a partner of some kind. So he'll Good. Probably be very involved in her care too, sure. But she'll be involved as well.
Well, yeah. And like you said, it's interesting how the family caregiver role didn't stop, right? I mean, at least it's not this massive having to go to another place and be bedside and then come home and be present as mom. But it's still a new chapter. So she's still got, you know, a lot ahead of her. And I want to say to you, please don't dismiss saying all I could do for her was set up play dates. Because you know, oops, I'm sorry. There's a lot of background noise behind me. But you know that setting up play dates is a really important thing, because she knew that her kids were safe and happy because she knows you, right? Yeah. And she knows that her other people in the family, I don't know if there's a husband and dad, but whatever, that they were getting a break. So, you know, any little bit helps. And thank you on the behalf of family caregivers for being there for her and sharing the story with us, and also providing the opportunity for other people, because you said that you're spreading the word at different meetings that we are looking for caregiver nominations so that we can highlight these awesome folks. And Ashley will be receiving a sweet little gift from us just to recognize and say to her, you are doing an awesome job. Keep going. Bryn and all of us are out here behind saying, way to go, sister.
Yes. Yeah. And I will be getting that out in the next week. I can't wait. But I just wanted to get back. I wanted to ask you one more question. I know that we're going to be running short on time, but I was looking through on the GWAR website, the 109-page 2022-2024 plan on aging. And let's just say that there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And I'm really curious, from your perspective, what are some of the greatest challenges facing Wisconsin seniors, and what are some of the plans to address them?
This is a tough one. It is really, really tough because there's so much. It's not to say that we haven't done so much and that we haven't accomplished so much, but I think we're number one in the country for falls for seniors. You know, the lack of technology, loneliness. I think housing, affordable housing, and having people end up in assisted living or nursing homes just because there isn't an alternative. There's a lot. So what I'm going to hone in on, if I had to name a priority or the biggest need, is probably the one I'm most familiar with. We know already that family caregivers are doing 80% of the in-home care. We know that this is already happening. So by supporting, I think, family caregivers, and that could be in so many different ways, from a caregiver tax credit to employers becoming more family caregiver friendly, to making sure that our grant programs don't have too many barriers to them, and making sure that they're more accessible. Whatever it is that we can do to support family caregivers is going to be the thing that is most immediately felt by those giving the care. And I think a close second to that would be the paid caregiver workforce shortage, because in order for family caregivers to get that rest or that respite that they need, they do rely heavily on family, but also paid staff that come into the home or maybe take their loved one out of the home or at adult daycare. And I think that from my perspective, those are the two most pressing needs, both for seniors, but also in the disability world. So that's not just, you know, a population specific need.
I totally agree. Thank you so much, Bryn, for giving us your time today. I know that you are one busy woman and you've got the world to save and your work cut out for you. So we do appreciate so much your time for coming and speaking with us and educating us on the topic.
And we do really appreciate all that you're doing for family caregivers, too. I mean, the fact that you just said out of the biggest needs for seniors, the two that you want to really highlight are related to caregiving just is really appreciated. And I can't say enough how important it is for you to keep sharing that at all the different places where you're advocating. So thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, yep, take care.
A great night. We'll talk soon.
And if you would like to join the conversation about aging in Wisconsin, give us a call at 844-967-2789. So, Kristen, what was your biggest takeaway from the conversation?
Well, a couple different things. I mean, first of all, I just appreciate how complicated all of this resource stuff is, right? And someone like Bryn, who seems very compassionate, very kind, very smart, is in there navigating what I would just call a whole bunch of bureaucratic red tape. I appreciate, right? Because I don't understand like two-thirds of what she was talking about in terms of all these agencies and acronyms and the funding and the money. What I'm hearing is she's out there making sure that the family caregiver is being considered in all of these discussions about the different challenges that are ahead for our state and our country, right? And this big one that I do think people are aware of, that we have this aging population and that we're not necessarily prepared for it. And that does mean that we're not really supporting the family caregiver. But Bryn is. So I think that was my biggest takeaway, is that we've got a really, really good advocate and spokesperson in Bryn. What about you?
Well, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I don't think as a country we're very proactive, period. So to know that there's 640 more thousand individuals that are going to need help and support, and you know, we're scrambling now to figure out how to do it, it should be alarming. You know, people should take note of that, because if you're not a senior, hopefully someday you're gonna become one. And you know, we want to have those supports in place. If you would like to join the conversation on aging in Wisconsin, you can give us a call at 844-967-2789. And you know, after reading more online about GWAR's goals, it is really eye-opening how unprepared we are to take care of our aging population.
It is true. And I do think, like you said, it is part of our culture, right? The U.S. tends to be more reactive than proactive. And as a former U.S. history teacher, I would tell you part of it's because we actually are a fairly young country. But enough of that as an excuse, right? We have to start thinking about and learning from these other cultures where being an elderly person, being a senior, is viewed as a valuable asset, and somebody who we can get wisdom from and somebody that we should be taking care of. And we just don't value that. And I think that's the problem. And now as we are having more and more people live longer and we're getting a larger and larger aging population, it's coming back to bite us in the butt. We need to start valuing these folks so that we aren't just struggling and scrambling with how she described there's not enough affordable housing, so people are going to nursing homes before they need to. That's crazy.
It is crazy. And I'll just back up one second and say, on the GWAR's goals, one of the first goals is ageism. You know, how do we combat ageism? And then of course the lack of affordable housing options, which that just blows my mind. You know, I know I've told you before, I had aspirations of, you know, someday leaving our house to our son with autism. So I knew he always had a roof over his head. But to be quite honest, I don't know at an entry, you know, level paying job if he could even afford the property taxes. So I don't know how a lot of these seniors that only rely on Social Security can afford to make it. Make ends meet.
I don't think they do, right? And so that's why it's important that GWAR is out there talking about that. And then those that are still in their home, part of the problem there is that they're still very lonely and isolated, you know? And I do think the pandemic helped open us to that fact, I know I became more conscious of the people on my block that were seniors. And I was like, you know, I don't see their kids. So they're probably out of town. You know, these are, I mean, I didn't live in the same community as my parents. And so I thought about, this is somebody I need to look out for. And so we did. I mean, I can't take credit for this piece, but I was thinking about part of it, but obviously someone else was too. She put together the first time our whole neighborhood has had a directory so that we could stay in contact with one another. And then somebody else down a couple doors down started hosting a springtime potluck. And it was like, this is just important to do. And I connected with all of these older folks in the neighborhood that I just didn't really know very well. And as a result, they've been lonely and isolated. And my kids really now have people that are looking out for them that are kind of in that grandparent role. And so it's just really cool. And so I'm glad that GWAR has made that one of their goals as well.
That is awesome. And the loneliness and isolation definitely has to be a big thing, because if you think about it too, what do we do all day? We stare at our phones, right? Like, yeah. My grandmother has a flip phone. If she didn't have like 500 grandkids, I don't know what she would be doing all day. You know, so there's the technology barrier, and not only the technology barrier, but the lack of broadband in rural areas so that people can have access to things. And I think, you know, you go to a show, you buy your tickets online, you do everything online, right? So I'm like thinking, how are seniors handling that in today's world? And then, of course, she had mentioned the shortage of paid professional caregivers. And then the last one is, well, we kind of addressed it with housing, is the percentage of the older population that are living in poverty. You know, they're talking about what, getting rid of Social Security, you know, and this is it's something where it already isn't even keeping up with what they need to survive.
Right. And I know you're typically the stats queen, but I just want to throw a few of these out there. Mm-hmm. Is that when it comes to the health of our seniors, Wisconsin actually isn't doing a great job. I am proud of what Bryn is doing, so I don't want to slam her or GWAR, but they still have a lot to do, because studies are showing that only 5.5% of seniors get adequate intake of fruit and vegetable consumption. And then we are ranked 42 out of 50 in the nation in terms of that. And then, I mean, we could make jokes about this, but it's actually quite tragic. We are actually ranked 50 out of 50, the worst state in the country for excessive drinking by seniors. And our obesity for seniors, we're ranked 42 out of 50. 33.3% of our seniors are obese.
Yeah.
This is not good, you know?
And
this is a result of not valuing their health and their needs.
Well, right. And then there's the financial aspect of it. You know, unfortunately, crap is a lot cheaper than good, nutritious food. And I don't know how to address the drinking other than we live in Wisconsin. You got to slow down, seniors. But yeah, it is an issue. And I think we can do better. And I think once we acknowledge that, we can go from there, right?
Right, exactly. And I do think that there's going to be an opportunity when we come up to talk about some of the solutions for this stuff related to our Powerful Tools for Caregivers course and some of the topics that we are going to be able to connect in there. And so I'm looking forward to coming back and sharing some more information about that. We'll be back in just a moment.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Max Inc. Radio, we are local music with Pete from the Skin Tones.
Here, you have been warned. Not only Madison, the rest of Wisconsin and the U.S., Skin Tones, we're coming at you. We're going to be committing rock atrocities. We're fit. We're in shape. We are tight. We are muscular. We are attractive for our ages. And we are sexy as hell.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
My Shiro always goes the extra mile, stretches every dollar, puts others first. But now it's your time, Mom. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings now at aceyourretirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. High temperatures reach up to 37 today under mainly clear skies. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Lows dip down to about 30. A mix of clouds and sun tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 41. Cloudy skies expected Monday. Decreasing clouds by Tuesday. Highs in the mid-30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 25 degrees.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show with Liza Hellenbrand and Kristen Voss, and we have been talking about aging in Wisconsin, and I got to tell you, I'm done with it. It's too depressing. I've got to move on. We've got to move on to something positive. So I'm going to hop right back into the gift box that we are doing, the gift box program. Kristen, can you tell listeners a little bit more about that?
Sure. I mean, if you love the idea of surprising a hardworking caregiver and would like to support us in our mission, please, please contact us. We're looking for businesses and entrepreneurs to donate items for our gift boxes. It could be gift cards, toiletries, jewelry, candles, maybe even a sweet treat. Mm. If you would like to contribute to our gift boxes, we will do this for you. We will list you and your contact information on our website. We'll give your information in the gift box so those receiving them can reorder. And we're going to give you the opportunity to promote your product on our show. So if you are able and interested in donating something, we'll also invite you on the show if you would like to talk about your product and why you felt it was important to support family caregivers.
And if that's not your cup of tea, we can do the promotion for you. So if you want to brighten the day of a hardworking family caregiver and receive a promotion for your product or service, this is a great way to do it. Civic Media currently has a reach of 4.5 million Wisconsinites and growing. So this is a wonderful way to promote yourself, to support a caregiver, all on a shoestring budget.
Right. So now I'm going to promote something that we're doing on a shoestring budget, right? We want to remind you that we are offering a powerful tools. Okay. I can't speak really clearly either. It's getting to be late in the night. Mm-hmm. We are offering a powerful tools for caregivers 6 weeks course. This course is going to be free to the caregiver and it will take place via Zoom on Wednesdays starting April 12th from 12 to 1:30.
The powerful tools for caregiver course is designed to empower family caregivers to take better care of themselves. The PTC course is a national program run out of the state of Iowa University Extension and Outreach and is being taught all over the globe.
It is. And when we kind of took it in order to get prepared to actually lead it, I found it to be really super helpful because it gave us a lot of specifics. Like we all know, and I've been complaining to you off camera and off air that I'm not doing a very good job practicing what I preach, right? I know how important self-care is for the caregiver, and it's impossible to do sometimes because there's only so much time in the day. And if your care recipients keep needing and needing and needing, you can't necessarily create more minutes. But what this course did for us and some of the powerful tools are, is that you can really figure out what are some very quick ways that you can reduce personal stress. How can you communicate your feelings, needs, and concerns? And so that's something that I'm really working on with some of the care recipients I'm dealing with right now is I'm saying, hey, I need a break. I need a break even for 10 minutes because I'm finding myself getting to be really short with you, and that's not fair. And if I just take a break for a couple minutes, then I will be able to come back and be more present. And it makes a difference. But it's also because of these topics in this course, like learning from my emotions, communicating in challenging situations, and then trying really hard to master the caregiving decisions. So if you're interested in working on some of these powerful tools with us, you can sign up today by going to www.empoweredcaregivercommunity.com. It's really important to include empoweredcaregivercommunity.com.
Yes. Yes. And thank you for pointing that out, because I think when it comes to caregiver support, I think people do, you know, kind of go, oh, I don't have time for self-helpy things, or I know my self-helpy things. And this is a lot more than that. It really dives into your emotions and how to communicate. So there's some great stuff in the program. It's totally free. So come to our website and sign yourself up. And I also want to, before we run out of time, tell you about next week's show, because we have some great guests coming in. We are going to be talking with State Representative Evan Goyke and Lori Palmieri, a former mayor of Oshkosh and is currently the State Assembly in the State Assembly District 54. So we're going to talk about some legislation impacting family caregivers.
This is going to be really good, because we also know that we're going to have the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities joining us for regular spots to talk about some of the legislative needs and the best way to advocate. So it's going to be really important next week to hear from some of our actual politicians about what their thoughts are. And we're going to be sharing with them the stuff that we're learning. In addition, the next person that we're going to have next week is Michelle Dickinson, and she is a passionate mental health advocate, a TED Talk speaker, and a published author of a memoir entitled Breaking Into My Life. Her memoir offers a rare glimpse into a young girl's experience living with and loving her bipolar mother. It's going to be a really interesting conversation.
I know. I can't wait. And I'm also curious to hear a little bit about your memoir. I know that you've been on a caregiving whirlwind, and I don't think I've talked to you for like 2 weeks. Sister, I miss you. Right?
I know. I miss you too. But it has been a whirlwind. I mean, yes. It's just one of those things where it's compounded by compounded by compounded, right? And so I basically am caregiving for three people right now. And one of them had to come and deal with her aging parents, well, her parent who passed away, and all the stuff. Mm-hmm. And it has taken us hours and hours to get through all the stuff. And she's needed some help to do it in order to physically manage some of the like carrying things out and laboring and all, you know, all the stuff that's involved, but also emotionally, because right now she's pretty fragile and needs some of that emotional support that a caregiver can give when you're going through the like remnants of people that are gone now and you're the last generation. That's really been hitting her. And last night, and so this is going to be my free PSA, we were saying we need to get out on social media, even though we both hate it, and say, please take care of your own things, like clean up. I mean, we're going through parents' report cards from eighth grade.
Oh,
my goodness. Mom's, her mom's, her grandmother's. I mean, it's insanity. Well, so folks, don't do that to your folks. Please clean up your eighth grade report cards.
Yes, yes. I think about that all the time when I leave. Like, I don't want to leave this mess to my kids, which is another great promotion. I don't have the date. I'll put it on our Facebook, so follow us on Facebook. But we are having a professional declutter. I think it's Enwaken Your Life, and I can't even remember.
I can't remember the words, but she's a decluttering expert.
She's a decluttering expert, and one of the things that she focuses on is the passing phase, how do you get rid of stuff? And then there's also things like, how do you want your social media presence to be after you pass? What do you want to happen to your pets after you pass? I mean, there's so many things we don't think about. So that's another great guest that I can't wait to have on. But I know that you've been struggling, and my heart has been going out to you. Challenging times, and you know you have to take care of your daughter from afar as well. So definitely in my thoughts and prayers, and I can't wait to see your smiling face next week.
Yes, next week. I promise I'll be home. And let me tell you, knowing that I was coming to the show tonight actually was part of my self-care. We know that caregiving can be overwhelming and exhausting, but we all got this together. Thanks, everybody.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the